Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Lisa Lanier is on the line. She's our official attorney of this program. Lots going on today on her docket. And I have to say, we've even added more to it. Lisa, hello. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing really well. There's a guy. Now, this has already been tossed out by a judge. A guy from Germany went to New York and ate at a taco restaurant. And BB Shea says it's the best taco restaurant he's ever been to. Mm-hmm. What was it called?
Los Tacos Number One.
Los Tacos Number One in Chelsea Market. And he got the taco and everything. And then they had a serve yourself salsa area. And he put green salsa on the taco, which he said was so spicy, it caused his pulse to race. His Apple Watch said, "Your pulse is out of control." And it gave him esophageal and stomach pain and caused his mouth to blister. It was so hot. And he was upset that they didn't put a sign out saying how hot the salsa was, according to him. But the judge tossed it out. Is there any way you could possibly ever win a lawsuit like that, Lisa?
It's pretty rare. It would have to be, you know, there are some peppers that literally can cause heart, you know, immediate like heart failure and death. I mean, there's some peppers that are that strong. It's rare. And these were super hot, but they weren't to that level. I mean, it did cause his heart rate to increase, but it was hot. It was still, I think, within the normal range of just hot, you know. And I'm with BB Shea. I've been to this taco place. It is amazing. It's always packed, and they're just slinging it just really fast and really, really good. And the guy, you know, I thought that they had the sauces labeled. My recollection was it did say like mild or hot or something, but it's not a place that's super big on information. Like, I found it even sort of hard to communicate because, you know, I have the celiac stuff. So I always have to make sure I'm not getting a flour tortilla or something or I'll be definitely sick. And I found it a little hard because of the language barrier to communicate with them. So I think you kind of, that's part of the whole big picture of it, is you kind of go in there knowing that you may not know exactly what you're getting and you're signing up for that.
That's the best restaurant when you don't really know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't there a place here, El Mercadito or something you guys used to talk about?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the best tacos. But if you had to learn a little bit of Spanish to order it.
Well, I was told you just go in and put money down on the table and then they give you whatever.
If you could speak Spanish some, because I'd have to go in and be like, Tres, Pollo.
Oh, you do speak some
taco.
Spanish.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's New York, right? Yeah. So the pace is really fast, and they're not super sweet or anything, you know, and they're not looking to have some big long conversation with you. They're like, next, you know,
right?
Like, shut up, move on.
Get what you get, exactly.
Yeah.
The other one, it's not even on the docket. We just talked about it earlier. There's a woman who's upset, and she put it on her social media. She went to her daughter's basketball game, and a kid came up to her and said, "Well, you're attractive," and that kind of thing. Really had some swagger going. He's in the eighth grade, and the daughter pulled her away and said, "He's filming you with his Meta glasses." She didn't recognize that. She didn't realize it. And then she put up on her social media and said, isn't this wrong to be filmed in, and you don't know you're being filmed, and later it can go on somebody else's social media, which I agree with, Lisa. But there's really no way to stop that, is there?
No, it's really, unless the person is using your likeness for commercial gain, you know, like to endorse a product or something, that's the only time that you have any control over it. Otherwise, if you're in public, it's fair game.
No matter what. So if I'm walking, or let's say I fall down on a hill that's wet, and somebody gets that on film and wants to put it up on their social media, and it goes viral, and 10 million people see me falling, and I become a meme, that doesn't matter. It's just...
No, it doesn't matter. You were out in public. It would be different if you were inside a bathroom or a locker room or your own home, and someone was filming from outside your home, you know, into your home, that kind of thing. Or if you were in like an Airbnb in an area that you had an expectation of privacy, like the bedroom.
Right.
But otherwise, no, it's fair game. And these Meta glasses and some of the technology now has this happening all the time. And there are pranksters who kind of their full-time gig is making YouTube videos and TikTok videos of surprising people or putting people in awkward situations while secretly filming them. So it's pretty, it wouldn't surprise me if we started to see some erosion of that sort of, you know, public space, no expectation of privacy, just because it's become weaponized sort of against people who are just innocent and upset.
You know how Biggie beats it? Never leaves the house.
Boom. Although, don't kid yourself.
Went, apparently. Yeah.
That's it. I do have to occasionally stop for gas and prescriptions, so I'm sure I'm selling somebody's Meta glasses.
Hey, look at this guy. Trying to pump gas. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, looks like you're full of gas. Thanks, Meta.
The Australian court, the highest in the land, has ruled on Katy Perry versus Katy Perry. Katy Perry, K-A-T-I-E, is an Australian trademark. She sells clothing. The woman named Katy Perry, and that is her real name. She was fought by the pop singer Katy Perry, and the designer won.
We won! Oh my goodness. This is a win for small business. It's a win for all of us. It's worth fighting for what you believe in, standing up for your values. It's a win for justice. And it's a win for me. You know, there's been so many times when I felt like I was down on the ground, trying to pull myself up. People told me to stop, to give up, and I never did. And I'm gonna get emotional, excited to share it with my kids. This is a good news story. This is the David and Goliath. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You know why she was told to give up? Because Katy Perry, the pop star, has unlimited resources, it seems. This woman does not, but she won. Was it surprising to you that she won, Lisa?
You know, it is. It's great that, you know, this is like you said, you know, many times, like you're the big business versus the little guy. And we've talked about it many times that usually people like Katy Perry, the pop star, just roll over little businesses like this because of their superior resources. But here, this lady, she dug in, she fought. And typically where you see a name, it's hard to get exclusive rights on a given name. But it does happen, you know, but here it's her full name. But what the court kind of boiled it down to is very similar to what would happen in the U.S., which is they said that there's no likelihood of brand confusion, that the Australian Katy Perry has this very distinctive kind of like earthy line of clothing with the cute little logo that looks kind of like the continent and a kangaroo.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, you know, very different than a pop singer who does have merch, but Katy Perry's merch is nothing like, you know, they just said there's no confusion here. They spell it differently. And she took it all the way to their Supreme Court. I mean, it was a big, long out protracted drama that went on forever.
Good for her. I'm with it. Now, normally I'm for all about big corporations, but in this case, I'm glad she fought it. You know, she had enough and she fought it and she wound up winning and there's no place else it can go. She won it. You said the highest court of the land in Australia. There's another, this is about brand and confusion. The Boston Garden, what used to be called the Boston Garden in Boston, where the Celtics and the Boston Bruins, they play hockey there. Well, years and years ago, they sold out the naming rights, like most stadiums do. It's called TD Garden. For a while, it's called TD Bankworth Garden. Well, another company, a cannabis dispensary, has called themselves the Boston Garden now for a while. And the folks that own TD Garden are suing them saying, hey, that's brand confusion. We play basketball here in a stadium that used to be called Boston Garden. But the dispensary said, well, you gave up the name, not us. And there's no confusion. We're selling weed. You're selling. You're playing.
Duh.
You know, you're playing hockey. Board. We're saying
we're an actual garden.
Come on. Yeah. Is the little guy going to win here, Lisa? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think they probably will. It is a little bit of a closer call because they both trademarked Boston Garden. But what the cannabis company is saying is that they abandoned that the TD Garden abandoned it and they no longer use it. And so I think that's a strong argument. Plus brand confusion. They're in usually if two companies are in completely different sectors of business, then they'll be allowed to operate with the same name.
There you have
it. So I think they're okay.
If you're a TD Garden, do you respond by saying there's a lot of weed smoked at concerts in this facility? We are going against you because you sell weed. No, I guess not. There's too much similarity. I guess not.
And you know, and this dispensary is no small potatoes. They have three locations in the Boston area and big fancy. You know, there's a lot of money in that.
Oh, yes.
Probably not to the extent of the TD Garden, but still, I mean, they're no tiny, you know, it's not really a David and Goliath.
So they can fight it, exactly. More, a couple of celebrity stories here. Kathy Ireland, former guest on this program, is suing her managers because they allegedly stole up to $100 million from her. She was worth, she's worth like $500 million. Now, the other day, we were commenting on our interview with Kathy Ireland. Kathy Ireland was a swimsuit model and was on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in 1989. I had it. I remember it very, very well.
He used it a lot. You fill in the blanks on what...
We didn't mention that
to Ms. Ireland. He was very busy.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that to Ms. Ireland when she was on the phone with us. Well, that, along with her clothing lines, et cetera, got her to $500 million in net worth. $100 million has been stolen. Will she ever recover that, Lisa? Because some of this... And Biggie's question was, how does it happen when, even if you're that rich, like somebody like Billy Joel, who was taken to the cleaners by his manager, how do you lose that kind of money? And can you get it back?
Well, and here's the really sad thing about Kathy Ireland is her net worth may have been up there at some point, but now she says that this theft has left her in debt, that they racked up debts, and that she went to help her son with a financial crisis or transaction or something and found out she didn't have the scratch to do it.
Mm.
So she's not like sitting on $400 million after they took $100 million. Mm. She's in over her head. She's in deep. And so these things are complicated. She's going to have to show that they misappropriated the funds. And with entertainers and celebrities, from, you know, rock stars to models to whatever, what they don't realize sometimes when they're young and they're entering into these management agreements is that the management agreements have layers and layers of management fees that come off of the absolute top. First dollar goes to these people. And then all of these other expenses are paid before the celebrity sees any money. And so a lot of young, like rock stars, you know, pop stars, will be really shocked at how little money they actually see after they've hit it big, gone on a big tour, because of all the management fees and things that come off the top before they see a penny. So maybe part of it is that, but also she says she can prove, and that's what she's going to have to prove it, that they literally stole, you know, and misappropriated money, like to their benefit, just to their account.
Terrible. Red Rachel should pay attention to this now that you're breaking into the entertainment business.
Uh-huh.
Don't pay too much attention. I don't think you're going to have to worry about dealing in millions.
I don't have to pay you any fees, Chris Kelly, do I?
I hadn't even thought about that. Maybe we should, you know, because here we have.
Yeah,
you should learn this early, that when you get your management and your team together.
Sure.
You don't pay him. I've been paying him for years.
Don't let him.
I told him I use Cash App, and he said, what's that?
I don't know Cash App.
And you're looking at the team.
Now, the other celebrity story is Donny Osmond. Donny throws out beach balls at his concerts, and a woman has been hit. This is Donny. He does a Vegas show, and a woman has been hit by the beach balls.
Why am I standing on my stage here in Las Vegas holding a beach ball with my picture on it? Well, those of you who have seen my show, you know exactly what I do with these things. I'm here to announce that I have quadrupled the amount of beach balls that my dancers and I toss into the audience. This place goes wild. You gotta see this.
Go to Donny.com to get tickets.
Well, the audience may go crazy, but one woman in particular didn't like it one bit because she got hit in the face with a beach ball, and now she's suing Donny, his production company, and Harrah's Las Vegas for $15,000 in damages. She had a retinal issue in her eye and also PTSD. You know, she says she's been left with all sorts of injuries. Lisa, can she win this lawsuit? We were figuring that the ticket covered it on the back of the ticket saying, hey, beach balls are being thrown out here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll probably end up settling with her. I mean, the laws in Nevada are pretty favorable for somebody with a premises case like this, premises liability. And these balls have actually been, a lot of venues have stopped, have rules that you can't use these. Entertainers can't throw these things out because, you know, the intention is like Donnie turns down the lights and they're lit up like neon and they're big and they're, you know, the intention is for them to be, you know, gently lobbed from, you know, one audience member to the other. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is you get these people who, you know, are just either being very aggressive with their hitting of the ball or they're whatever, maybe they're impaired, whatever, who are just, you know, slamming these things, like spiking them at other audience members. And so what happened to this lady is she actually suffered a concussion and a detached retina that required surgery and was unsuccessful in restoring her vision. Mm. And so that is why she is suing, is she has really, really serious injuries. So when you throw something out like that, that is dangerous, you know, even, you know, you can get away with some of that with a warning. But here, where they something is known to be really dangerous, like these balls, I think they're going to end up needing to settle with her probably.
Yeah, that's I never considered. I thought, well, Donnie's not going to try to injure anybody. He's going to loft them into the audience. But then these old Osmond fans, these 80-year-olds, are going to start
crazy Osmond
spiking them at each other, and this woman takes one in the eye.
I get so excited over seeing Donnie live.
God, I didn't even think about it. You know, Red Rachel was telling us when this story first came up that when you go to a concert now, if you have a bottle of water, they take the cap because people throw the bottles of water at the performer or at each other.
Oh.
It causes injury. So you don't get the cap for your water. Isn't that crazy? I was really, really surprised to hear that. The other story, now this is overseas now, on Lisa Lanier's docket today, lawyer up. Bernadette Hayes has won her lawsuit. Apparently, she was in England, but she is originally, she's Irish. And her boss refused to stop calling her potato.
Potatoes.
In a derogatory way.
Potatoes.
No matter what she would do.
Hey, good job, potato. Oh, look who's early.
Potato.
Yeah, the potato.
Potato.
Was early. So she took that to a fairly high court, and she wound up winning, Lisa. The boss was saying it was good-natured fun. She said there's nothing good-natured about it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this would be a similar outcome in the United States. It's pretty universal in, you know, employment law situations that you cannot harass someone. And, I mean, he really harassed her about her heritage, her race. Same would be true here. It would be, I think the analogy in the United States would be if you used a slur, like a racial slur that's maybe not quite as obvious as the N-word, but one of kind of the lesser slurs.
Mm-hmm.
If you just use that repeatedly toward an African-American person, that kind of thing. But it was very hostile, and it got worse when his buddy, from outside of work, his buddy came to work there and really thought it was funny. And so then he really doubled down on the potato comment.
Have you met potatoes?
Right. So it was so bad, they fired the buddy.
They fired the buddy. The buddy couldn't work there anymore. But the boss kept his job. No. The boss must do a good job otherwise, because he kept his job.
It was the equivalent of $30,500 US. I mean, it was a decent little amount of – and she still works there. I think she quit. Actually, I think she quit. But she got a period of wages from the time that she quit.
Yeah.
Because she's arguing like hostile work environment.
God, I'm such a horrible person. I'm trying to think of examples here of what you could call somebody. Like, what could you get away with and what could you not? You know?
Clearly Biggie.
Right.
God, Red Rachel.
Okay. You called her pale 15 times.
Yeah. Man, I called Red Rachel pale over and over and over again already today, Lisa. I could get in trouble here for this. Of course, now I've been called some fun little names along the way as well. Shamu.
Stupid.
BB Shane just called me stupid a week ago, Lisa.
Oh, my goodness.
We were in a focus group. We were in a team-building exercise, and the leader said, right off the bat, what are some words you could use to describe Chris Kelly and his personality?
Stupid.
Please wait for the clock to start. No.
That was BB Shea's first thing, was he called me stupid.
My goodness.
It really, to me, it set a real bad example for the rest of the day.
Heck yeah.
Of course, yes. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of this program. You know, you're only going to have one more lawyer up with Chris Dem. He'll be here next week. That'll be your last. You think you know how much I cry. You know I'm such a crier.
I know.
That's going to be a rough one. That's going to be a rough one for me that day. But we will talk to you again next week, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend.
There she goes, Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of this program. You can find her at lanierlawgroup.com.